Good morning, everybody. If you'll take your Bible and turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2 this morning. Gospel of Mark, chapter 2 this morning. I'm going to preach a message about the unexpected miracle, the unexpected. Boy, I tell you what, you ever been to an event? You're just sitting there, and whether it's a sporting event or something else, and something unexpected just happens in the middle of it. You know, I mean, it gives you something to speak about. I remember one time just watching this clip on the computer of a golfing event, and right in the middle of a tournament, guy hits his ball up the fairway, and as he's walking up the fairway to his golf ball, seagull comes along. Seagull just drops down out of the sky, starts pushing that golf ball with its mouth, and all of a sudden the seagull gets the golf ball in its mouth and flies and drops it over in the pond. Now, what rule do you have for that? Where do you go with that one, right? But there's all sorts of events where you just see in the interesting things that just unexpectedly happen. Well, that's what we see in Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2 is an exciting chapter in the Bible. And it's a miracle that Jesus Christ would do. But I want to call it this morning the unexpected, because a lot of unexpected things happened here in Mark chapter 2. But we begin reading in verse number 1 this morning, and in Mark chapter 2 and verse number 1, and it says, "Again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch as there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning that we can gather together. Lord, we thank you this morning that we can open up the word of God, the very words of God, the eternal God. And you've given us these words, you've given us this book, you've given us this Bible, that we might know thee, the true God, and your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we just thank you this morning and praise you. Lord, we just pray that you'd just speak to our hearts through your word this morning as we look into it. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You know, just verse 1 and verse number 2 starts us off understanding that, boy, I tell you what, when you were around Jesus Christ, in the days of Jesus Christ, when you were around Jesus Christ, you just knew it was going to be exciting. It wasn't going to be boring. It was going to be exciting. I mean, things happened when you were around Jesus Christ. And that's why these people gathered. You just look at what had happened just up until this point in this one place called Capernaum. In this one city, just think about what had happened before that. Well, a leper had been healed. I mean, that didn't happen. That did not happen. Leprosy was one of those diseases that you didn't find healing. And all of a sudden, there's a leper healed. I mean, that noise would travel about. Did you hear? This leper was healed. Jesus healed this leper. This leper is clean. Then you have the centurion's servant is healed. Boy, that news got around. I mean, we're talking about the centurion that built the synagogue. I mean, this man, his servant was healed. There's another miracle. Then you hear about the man in the temple with a demonic spirit, and he's healed. I mean, that would be amazing, wouldn't it? Yes, it would be. All right, thank you. I didn't know if I was awake or you were awake or we're dreaming or what. You got Peter's mother-in-law healed. And beyond that, I mean, we won't even stop to think about what happened beyond this. But it's no wonder that in verse number 1 and verse number 2, that when Jesus comes into Capernaum, it says it was noise that he was in the house. Word traveled fast. You know, that's a phrase that's used today, by the way. Someone's in the house, right, Doug? You go up to prison ministry, someone's in the house, you know. Preacher Giddy's in the house, right? But Jesus, I mean, the word spread, Jesus is in the house. And people began to gather. The crowd began to come. In fact, it says in verse number 2, straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. And the house began to fill up so much that there was no more room. And then Jesus did something. I want you to notice something. I want to take a moment here. There was no room to receive them, not so much as about the door. And look what Jesus did. There's an important thing here. He preached the word unto them. He preached the word of God. Because you know what? It's the word of God that's important. It's the word of God that's powerful. It's the word of God that's exciting. The Bible says the word of God in Hebrews chapter 4, it says it's quick and powerful. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Listen, I want to take a moment and I just want to stop here and just challenge you to think about the very word of God and how powerful it is. Do you know and really understand and really believe that every word of this is absolutely true? And let me tell you something. Everything in this book works without exception. Everything. If we would simply get that down, if we would simply understand that this is the Word of God, and that it is true, and that it is powerful, and that it works, and we would read it and live by it, you understand what that would do for your life? You understand what it would do? This is the Word of God. God says this is His Word. And He says this is the way to live. And Jesus preached the Word. That's what we need to do. The Bible says we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And it's the Word of God that works. And the Word of God was working here. And Jesus begins to preach the Word of God to them. It was exciting. You know, it's an exciting life to serve the Lord. It's an exciting life to serve the Lord. I just love to stop and think about all the exciting things that have happened while you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you just stop and think of all the things that have happened. But when we come to chapter 2, and Jesus is in the house, and He's preaching the Word of God, He's preaching the gospel, preaching the kingdom of God, all of a sudden there's a disruption. Point number one, there's a disruption. You know, I don't know why we just assume that there's not going to be any disruptions. Jesus Christ was disrupted many times when He was preaching the Word of God. Many times when He was teaching, He was disrupted. And here we have a disruption. Look what happens in verse number 3. Yeah, just imagine this. You're in a house just like, well, let's just think about just where we are right now. And you're preaching the Word of God, and all of a sudden there's a disturbance, there's a disruption. By the way, I want you to know something. Jesus didn't let the disruption disrupt Him. It may have disrupted the people, but it didn't disrupt the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you're preaching the Word of God, listen, for you that preach and teach, don't let disruptions bother you. Just keep going with the Word of God. But there was a disruption. I mean, there's a big crowd. The place is packed. And all of a sudden, the plaster starts falling. You know, it's like, I love it in springtime, you know. Springtime, when all of a sudden, things start to heat up. And you've all seen this. All of a sudden, there's one wasp flying around that front fan, right? And all of a sudden, everybody's looking up at the wasp. Is it going to bite me? Is it going to fly down? Am I going to die? What's going to happen? One wasp can disrupt the whole thing. Now, there aren't any wasps here today, folks. We are wasp-free, okay? But there was a disruption because these four guys, these four men, their friend is sick of the palsy. He can't walk. And so they bring him. They can't get in the house. Look what it says. They come unto him, verse number 3, bringing one sick of the palsy, which is born of four. They've carried this man down the street from his neighborhood all the way to the house, thinking they're going to get him to Jesus Christ, and they can't get through the crowd. Boy, what a problem that is, huh? Wouldn't that be a neat problem to have, Brother Getty? If there was no room in the house, if you couldn't get any more people in the room, well, that's the way it was. And so what do? They want to get the Lord. They want to get this man in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they go up on the roof. They take this guy up on the roof, and it's a tile roof, and they start taking the tiles down, and all of a sudden, you're in the crowd. Jesus is speaking and preaching, and all of a sudden, you're looking, and all of a sudden, you see a little spot up there that's opening up, and pretty soon, there's a big spot, and pretty soon, the sound system starts to mess up, and pretty soon, there's an opening, and then all of a sudden, they're letting this man down in the middle of the room. That would disrupt your message, wouldn't it? Right? That would disrupt your message. Well, there was a disruption. You know, Jesus Christ was disrupted many times in his life. Many times in his life he was disrupted. He was disrupted by the Pharisees, the scribes. I mean, all sorts of people. There was a lot of people, and there were a lot of times that he was disrupted by what we could say were antagonists. And you know, over the course of years, as I was studying this message, I was saying, you know, I ought to write a book just on the disruptions of preaching the Word of God. The disruptions of preaching the Word of God. I remember way back in 1998 when we had tent meetings. I remember, how many remember this? This lady stood up that it was a prophetess. Remember this? Remember at the end of the service, Dan Souza and I were there, and this lady stood up and, will you hear the word of a prophetess? I said, and I made the mistake. I couldn't hear her. I made the mistake of saying, what? Wrong thing to say. So Brother Susan and I go down, and we go over to the lady. I told her, whoever was playing the piano, I said, play the piano, play it loud. We go over, and this lady says, I'm a prophetess, and I'm going to tell you the sin of every man in the tent. I said, we're all sinners, lady. No news there, right? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. She got upset, and Brother Souza tried to pray when she got upset and left. But, you know, there's disruptions all the time. We had one man come up into Willimantic with the front doors right on the street, so we get disruptions all the time. We had one man come in, and I was tempted to let him stay, but he had flags and swords and he was going to show us what the seraphims and the cherubims in Isaiah 6 really were like. You know, I had this, you know, and he was, and so, nah, we don't need that tonight. We've had soldiers of God come in from the woods up there at Willimantic. I mean, they come in, one man came in, and he stood there, and he told us he was a real soldier in the army of God. He lived in the woods, and we knew nothing, I mean, we just told him, well, go out where the battle is, buddy, because it ain't here. But, you know, there's disruptions all the time. We've had disruptions right here in the service, right? We've had people stand up here in the service. Remember the time the man came up and took my trumpet and was swinging around? And boy, all sorts of disruptions. But I tell you what, the more you work in the city, the more you work in city ministries, they just don't bother you. I mean, it doesn't faze me anymore. I've had a man stand up in the end of the service and tell me he's packing a gun. I told him, great, sit down, would you please? And he sat down. You know, but anyways, there's a lot of distraction. But let me tell you something. This distraction was different. This distraction was different. Because this man wasn't just out of his mind. This man was an antagonist. These people that disrupted the service where the Lord Jesus Christ were, they came because they were in need. And they came because they were seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. And they came because their friend had a need that only the Lord Jesus Christ could meet. And they said, we've got to do something. We've got to get him to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the disruptions that you don't mind. Those are the disruptions you don't mind. I remember one time down at Citywide, we had a man stand up on a Sunday afternoon, right as I started to preach. I'll never forget it. He just stood up in his seat as I said, turn in your Bibles. Before I could say any more, he stood up and he says, my name is Jesus. I'm a filthy, rotten sinner. And he sat down. That man got saved that day. He came in and he knew he was in need of Jesus Christ. And it was the easiest thing to preach the gospel to him. I remember one Thursday night up at Willimantic. I'll never forget it. George, you were probably there. I think you were there because I think you helped me out with this one. Man came in. We were starting Bible study. Man came in. Over 6 feet tall, big strapping man. He came in the front door and he just walked in the front door and he just stood there. He just stood there and he began to shake and he began to cry like a baby. He just began to cry. And he just couldn't stop crying. His name was Charlie. Charlie came in, he stood there, and we're all sitting around, and boy, it was a disruption when a grown man, over 6 feet tall, probably 300 pounds, I mean, strapping man, just comes into the front door of the church and just stands there and begins to cry. And he says, "Help me." He said, "My marriage is a mess. My home is a mess." And my friend said, "Go to that church." And he just stood there crying like a baby, and he said, "Help me." That's the disruption that we see here in Mark chapter 2. We don't see people that were coming and trying to disrupt the Lord Jesus Christ and trying to challenge him or antagonize him or trying to shut down the service or disturb the service. No, we saw people that were in need. And folks, I tell you what, that's the reason why we need to be out there preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because as much as this world is a mess, there are people out there that are hurting, that are in need of Jesus Christ. And they're out there. They're out there. Last Sunday after I preached at Willimantic, I went out on the streets and I just went to this one place and I started talking with all these guys that were drug dealers. And they know me. They call me pastor. And I just started talking to them. And I tell you what, I don't look at them as antagonists. I don't look at them as criminals, although they are. I look at them as souls that need Jesus Christ. I don't hate them. I don't affirm what they're doing. But I tell you what, I don't hate them. I love them with the love of Jesus Christ. And my heart breaks for them. And I know that as this man was let down through this roof, Jesus Christ didn't get upset. He didn't say, "Hey, get out, you're ruining the message." His heart cared for these guys that brought this man down through the roof. And oh, that our life was disturbed more by people that needed Jesus Christ. And the more you get out there and preach the Word of God, the more you get out there into the community, the more you get out there in the world, your life will be disturbed. It will be disrupted. But oh, that it would be disrupted by souls that were seeking Jesus Christ so that we could tell them about Jesus Christ and they could be saved. Because this is what happened. And so we see a disruption by the need, just like that man walked into Willimantic that night and just, do you remember him, George? Remember that night? He just stood there and began to cry and began to cry and began to cry. Just weep like a baby. And here we see in verse 3 and verse 4 the disruption, but second of all, and this is what I love, we see a declaration by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what's amazing about this passage of Scripture and about this story is this disruption could have thrown the whole time out of control, could have disrupted everything. I remember there was one time that there was a disruption in the service and actually we did have to stop the service. We stopped the service and that's because it was... Remember the Rileys, Kevin Riley and Wendy Riley? Do you remember the night their son disrupted our service? Yeah, someone remembered it. This is one I'll never forget. I was preaching about the fountain of blessing. And I'll never forget, I looked over there and all of a sudden this little boy, and they won't mind me repeating it because we laughed about it so many times. All of a sudden he started throwing up just like a fountain. And I remember his dad taking him out, and I remember Kevin coming back in with a broom and a dustpan trying to clean up the mess as I'm trying to preach, and pretty soon the smell, remember this? Remember that night, folks? And the smell got so bad, I said, you know what, I think we're just going to end it right about here. And we've laughed about that so many times because just the title of the message, and I mean, the message was flowing, that was flowing, everything. We all just flowed right out of here and got some breathing space. But how do you bring a service back to the focus of the gospel of Jesus Christ? You see, Jesus Christ did. Because here we have a disruption. And I guess this might be a lesson for you that preach and teach and get out there in the ministry and everything. Listen, when there's this disruption, you have to quickly bring it back under control. Jesus brought it back under the control because he made a declaration that got their attention more than this disruption. You see, here they brought this man in, and this man is sick of the palsy. This man can't walk. And so they bring him into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden the whole service is disrupted. And then look what it says in verse number 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And right there with one sentence, Jesus Christ got their attention more than the disruption of the roof being broken. He got their attention. Because you know what? He said something that they weren't expecting. Just like they weren't expecting the roof to be broken down, just like they weren't expecting the roof to be opened up, they weren't expecting Jesus Christ to say this. They were expecting Jesus Christ to say something different. This man had come in sick of the palsy. This man couldn't walk. This man needed healing. They expected Jesus Christ to say what he would say later on. They expected him to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk. They brought the man in for healing. And they expected Jesus Christ was going to do what he had done in the other times. Either put his hand on him or either say something. Rise, take up thy bed and walk. But Jesus didn't. You see, he didn't speak the words they expected to hear. He said something totally different because he was bringing their attention to something that was more important than the fact the man that was sick of the palsy. His need to be forgiven. And he said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Because Jesus Christ was bringing them to the point where they understood that this was a more important declaration than saying, arise, take up thy sins. Or arise, take up thy bed and walk. And he said, Sin, thy sins be forgiven thee. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Look at verse 6. There were certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts. Why? Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether it's easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? And Jesus Christ has brought their attention to the point where it needs to be. Listen, when you tell someone, when you talk to someone about the gospel of Jesus Christ, when someone comes into your presence and they have a need, their greatest need is Jesus Christ. And as quick as you can, you got to get them to hearing about Jesus Christ. This man that came into Willimantic that night, sobbing like a baby. He was just crying, wasn't he, George? Just crying. And his first words were, I need help. And he says, my marriage is a mess. And so what do you do? Well, here's what we did. I turned to Tim and I said, Tim, I says, take over the Bible study. This is why you need to be ready at any time to preach the Word of God. I said, you take over the Bible study. I'm going to go back here with this other man. We're going to go way back over here, and I'm going to talk to this man. Because I knew at that point in time, that man's need was far greater than anybody else's need in that building. So we took this man, we took him to the back of the church, and we sat down, we began to talk with him. You say, well, what did you talk to him about? Well, I didn't talk to him about his marriage. I didn't talk to him about the circumstances that brought him there. I talked to him about one thing, the answer that he needed to hear, Jesus Christ. Because you can spend so much time focusing on the things that brought you to this place that you limit the amount of time that you have to focus on what is going to meet your need, and that's Jesus Christ. You know, when I go to the doctor, I don't go to the doctor to hear about politics. I don't go to the doctor to hear about the weather. I went to the doctor a few weeks ago, and it was just, I get a little bit frustrated. I sat down, and the doctor, the nurse practitioner, whoever the lady was, she sits down, and she's taking all these, you know, things, whatever. And I'm coughing, and I'm breathing hard. And she says, are you okay? You know, you try to be loving and kind and patient. I bit my tongue. I says, am I okay? That's why I'm here, right? Why do you, you know, let me ask you a question. Can't even think of the name of the place now. Why do you go to Subway? Why? Exactly. Wow, we got one smart guy in the place. To get a sandwich, right? I don't go to Subway to get a pair of golf clubs. I go to Subway because I'm hungry and I want a sandwich, right? When someone comes to you with a need, the answer is Jesus Christ. That's right. And I remember we sat down with that man and we started telling him about Jesus Christ. We began to talk to him about Jesus Christ. We began to tell him about the answer for the need in his life. Because until you get that problem solved, all the other problems aren't going to be solved. I remember one time I was asked to do a funeral. And the lady didn't expect that I do a funeral because I'm a Baptist preacher. She was a devout Catholic, and her son had died. And she said, we really would like you to do the service. She says, but we've got a problem. And I said, well, what's the problem? She says, we can't set foot in your church. That's how devout a Catholic she was. She said, we can't set foot in your church. I said, well, that's no problem. I said, let's have the service outside. I said, we'll have the service in the cemetery. And she says, you'll do that? I said, sure, I'll do that. And I can remember just the next words out of her mouth. Wow, you solved my problem. I said, nope. Mm-mm-mm-mm. I solved one of your problems. I said, but your biggest problem has not yet been solved because you don't know Jesus Christ. I said, I solved one little problem. But your real problem is still unsolved because you need Jesus Christ. Later on, she would trust Jesus Christ as her Savior, and she would get saved. Amen. You know, by the way, the Bible says in Acts chapter 16, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And that's because when the gospel goes forth in a house, boy, I tell you, it spreads like wildfire. Her son got saved. Her husband got saved. She got saved. Her friend got saved. And that's what happens when the gospel starts to go forth. And so in Acts, or in Mark chapter 2, he says, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And what a message, what words. And Jesus made a declaration, the most important declaration. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Boy, those are the most powerful and precious words you can ever hear in your life. Your sins are forgiven because of Jesus Christ and because of the grace of God. And then we have something more, even more unexpected. Because then you look down at verse number 9, whether it be easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto you, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And look at verse 12. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. And now we see a demonstration of his power. We've seen a disruption. We've seen a declaration. But now we see a demonstration of life that's changed. And the Bible says, immediately. You know, wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? Wouldn't this just be awesome? I mean, just think about this. Wouldn't this be just the best thing in the world? If you're sick, you make an appointment with a doctor and you finally get that appointment 5 years later, right? And you walk into the doctor's office. And you walk out, and you're completely better. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be awesome? Right? Tell you what, the best thing that's happened to me is lately, as I walked into an office down in but it was down the road a piece, and I walked in, and I'll tell you what, I was so thankful. The lady that was taking my blood pressure and everything else, she found out I was a believer. She found out I was a pastor. She said to me, and a most encouraging doctor's visit I've ever had in my life. She says, wait a minute. Let's stop right now. She says, I want to pray for you. She says, I'm a believer. She says, Pastor, I want to pray for you, and I'm going to go back and have my church pray for you. She says, because God is able to do things. And I said, boy, thank you very much. And she prayed right there. She just stopped. Prayed right there. She said, I'm going to pray for you. And man, she prayed. 3 days later, I got out of there. But but she prayed. But I tell you what, I was thankful for that. What an encouragement it was. What an encouragement it was to me. And then I went to the next doctor, and this lady, she found out I was a preacher, and she says, oh. She says, I don't know. She says, so you only work one day a week, don't you? I said, what a difference. And she was just kidding around. She had just seen that. And I said, yeah, actually, that's it. One day a week. It's a great job. But and go for it. But anyways, we see a demonstration of the power of Jesus Christ. But there's more to it. Because Jesus said that you might know that he had the power to forgive sins. He did a miracle in this man's life. And the man immediately got up and was able to walk. And you know, when Jesus Christ forgives your sins, your life is changed immediately. Immediately. It's not progressive. It's immediately. Well, I tell you what. Your sins, all of them, are forgiven immediately. Every one of them. And what a change it makes in a person's life. You now have life. You now have newness of life. Jesus Christ said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And this man got up and walked, and And it was an amazing demonstration of the power of Jesus Christ. It was an amazing miracle because the Bible says immediately he arose, took up his bed, went forth before them all. In other words, people saw it. I'll never forget that night when that man walked in. It's one of those testimonies I just love to think back on. Walks in crying like a baby, sobbing like a saying, just help me. My life is a mess. We took him to the back and we told him about Jesus Christ. And right there he accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Now I tell you what, if you've ever seen a person that goes from that point in their life to coming to Jesus Christ, being transformed by the power of Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden you see the immediate change, the tears stopped, the smile that came across this man's face was just amazing. And he stands up and he comes back to the rest of the Bible study, and now he's got the peace with God. The Bible says you're justified by faith. You have peace with God. And we saw that very thing happen. We saw him come in, a wreck, a mess, tears, weeping, crying out for help. He hears the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing about the rest, just Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the only one that can change a life. He prays and accepts the Lord Jesus Christ. The tears stop. You can see the calmness come over his soul. You can see the joy. He went home that night. He went home that night. And I tell you what, the miracles began to happen. His marriage was fixed. He's going to church. He's working. His life has been changed by Jesus Christ. This is what happened to this man. This is what happens when we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And why? Because that's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of the Word of God. It's what God is able to do through Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary. And you know, they were all amazed. Look what it says. They were all amazed. They're all amazed. I got to tell you one more. The more I was thinking about. And my wife says, you could go on for hours. And I said, I know that. But I'll remember one time, just one more. I tell you, it's exciting to serve the Lord. So I don't know if you were there, George. I don't know if you were with us that night. But there was one night, we're up in Willimantic, and we look across the street, and they're having a service across the street. Now, we consider this our neck of the woods. Our territory. You know what I mean? This is our home field advantage. So I saw the man that was going to be preaching over there. He was going to be preaching in Spanish. So I went over to the man before the service started. And he's all decked out, you know, because preachers like to get all decked out. Right? He had a black suit, bright yellow shirt on, and a fancy handkerchief in his pocket. You could tell. Briefcase, Bible, and everything. So I went up to him and I says, hey, I'm Pastor Meter from Willimantic Baptist Church. He said, oh, I'm Evangelist so-and-so. I said, great. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, are you going to preach the true gospel of Jesus Christ? He says, what do you mean? I says, well, you're across the street from our church. You're in our neighborhood. This is our ball field here. And I said, I want to know what you're going to preach. He said, what? I said, I want to know exactly what you're going to preach. Because we're going to be over there listening. If you start preaching anything that's not right, I'm coming over. And I'm going to interrupt. And I'm going to tell the truth to these people. Amen. He pulls out a gospel track. He pulls out a gospel track. And it's a track that we would use. He says, no, this is what... He says, this is what I'm going to preach. I said, good. I said, because we're going to be over there listening. And so we went across the street. We stood outside and we're listening. And pretty soon, all of a sudden, these ladies bring this lady across the street. And they come over from the service, and they bring a lady over to us across the street. I'll never forget it. It was amazing. And this is why I say it's exciting when you serve the Lord. So they bring this lady over, and they come over, and they said, can you help her? They said, we know that the power of God is in this place, and she needs help, and we think you can really help her. And they turned and walked away. So we stood there, and we preached the gospel to this lady, and this lady got saved. But I tell you what, I just want to tell you this morning, it's exciting to serve the Lord. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And we lose sight of that. We think that our world is such a mess that we lose faith in the power of the Word of God. I don't care how messed up our world is. I don't care how far away someone is. I don't care how far they've gone. If they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and they bow their heart before the very throne of God and call upon God to save them, God can save their soul and change their life. Amen. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter what they've done. The gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. And we need to be out there. We need to let our lives be disrupted by the people that are seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. And this man, there was a disruption. And Jesus made a declaration that put that disruption right in place. He says, thy sins be forgiven thee. And there was a demonstration of the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. You know, the most amazing thing that can happen to you in your life is that your sins would be forgiven through faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing more amazing than that, to have your sins forgiven through Jesus Christ. And that's the only way they can be forgiven. There's not salvation in any other. For there's only one name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved, and that name is Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this morning for thy precious word. Lord, thank you that your word of God is powerful. Thankful that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. But it is the power of God unto salvation, the power of God to change a life, to save a soul. Lord, thank you for saving us. Thank you for these folks today that are getting baptized, that are testifying to the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ in their life. Lord, I pray this morning, if there's someone here that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, oh, that today would be the day that they'd believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen.